Say it!
What is up, you guys? No, redo.
That was great. We're going. We're live right now. Thanks for that awesome intro, Kayla.
What is up?
Man, so good. In fact, what is up? How's everybody doing? How you guys doing? You doing
it's
well?
It's the new year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. 2023, we made it.
Yeah. Yay. That's great. We did it. 2022 was a heck of a year. How was your 2022?
It was a lot. A lot happened.
You got married.
I did. And I fully was a year out of nursing.
Come on.
So, you know, a lot of things. Lots of change. Yeah. I was like, RIP
to
what?
To all the patients.
The juice.
To all the patients?
The juice?
The juice. RIP to juice.
Oh, yeah. Facts. Mm. Poor juice.
Okay. How was your guys' 2022? That good, huh?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Love that. Daniel.
Yeah, it was fine. 2022 was solid. Had some ups and downs and all arounds, but by and large, 2022
was solid. Were you on a merry-go-round?
The merry-go-round never stops.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, you know what that quote's from?
No.
It's Grey's Anatomy.
Oh.
So let's talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Actually? Oh, yes. Okay, it is.
Yeah, I'm with Married to this Mom.
Yes.
Says that pretty
Ellis.
Frequently. Ellis, thank you. Yeah, like the You're island. Welcome. So, Grey's Anatomy. My wife, Lindsay, makes me watch Grey's Anatomy. That's her show. I've been watching Wednesday Addams.
What's that?
It's a new show. It's just called Wednesday. It's pretty solid.
Okay.
Pretty solid. I'm like three episodes in. But all Lindsay likes to watch Grey's Anatomy. And I know you guys like to watch Grey's Anatomy as well.
Yes.
So let's talk about it. I think
used to watch it.
Grey's Anatomy is one of the most like infuriating shows ever.
Why's that?
Because the characters are all awful people.
All of them. You don't like one single one?
What about Karev?
I really like Derek Shepherd.
Okay, and he's dead. Well, so rest
in peace. No spoilers.
Hey, if you haven't seen him by now, that's on you. Derek Shepherd dies in a car accident.
What about Mark Sloan? He's also a dead. Good man.
Mark Sloan?
All these people rip, guys.
Lexi Gray.
Good woman.
Rip.
Yeah, they were okay.
George O'Malley.
He cheated rip. On Callie.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it happens.
Literally, all these people dead.
Yeah, all the good ones die.
That's so sad.
All the good ones die young, you know?
That's true. They just have to kill them all off.
No, I think my two least favorite people in the show, if I had to pick, are definitely April Kepner.
That's actually true.
I genuinely have like a deep-seated hate in my heart for the character of April Kepner.
She caused Derek Shepherd to get shot, so.
She's awful.
Yep.
And? Gosh, it's like maybe a tie between Owen Hunt and Alex Karev. I strongly dislike
Alex?
Both of them too.
Stop.
He's
get
such
out.
A jerk.
No, but he's so sweet. No, but
he's got trauma.
He's
got trauma.
He has a soft heart.
Who doesn't have trauma?
He matured.
Yeah, for his one girlfriend. What's her name?
Joe. Yes.
Come on.
Joe Sala. I like Joe.
And think of the way that he is with the kids.
Yeah, that's why he did PEDS. Come on.
Oh my gosh.
His heart.
And whatever. All right, those are my thoughts. What are your guys' thoughts on
the worst character? Oh, no.
Just, like, your thoughts. Those
well,
are my
I want to share that I actually did see Kevin McKidd, who plays Owen Hunt.
Yes.
When I was in Malibu a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know.
I did.
The picture I showed was not convincing.
Okay. I believe her.
Because I'm not going to be so disrespectful and be, oh my gosh, Kevin McKidd, with my phone. I'm not doing that. That's not me.
She doesn't want to cause a scene.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not going to cause a scene.
Not to a celebrity.
I saw him. I saw him walking down the street. I made eye contact with him, and I goes, oh my gosh, that guy is so cute. And then I did a second take, and I was like, wait, that's Owen Hunt. And so I kind of like him a little bit more now.
But you said he was very stoic, though.
Yeah, he did not smile at me. I smiled and waved. I was being a little cheeky.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe
but that's
a little
you
flirty.
Knew. That's before
didn't
you knew.
Know. I didn't know.
Yeah. It's before you knew it was him.
It was before
you
I
gave
knew
him a cheeky
him,
little
and
wave.
He just looked at me like this.
Wow.
So, for our listeners who are not on YouTube right now, would you describe the look he made?
Stern.
Very stern.
He gave you the Owen Hunt look. Maybe he went
he
into
did give me the Owen
you.
Hunt. Oh my god.
So then you would know it was him.
Dang.
You're right. Oh, you're
oh
so
my
right.
Gosh.
Full circle right there.
Wow.
Yeah, awful character though.
Oh, I kind of like him.
He was good in some stuff. Christina Yang and him? nice together.
Whatever. He was like borderline. Okay, like,
except for when he had military trauma.
And he also PTSD. Cheated on her.
He did.
But
that's scumbag. Fair.
But
I didn't like him and Teddy.
She kind of. I like Teddy. You know, the best character in Grey's Anatomy
best character.
Is Teddy's dead husband.
What was his name again?
I can't remember.
Oh, the brunette dude.
He's so, he was so cute. Sweet.
The baseball player.
Yeah, yes.
Didn't she only marry him?
She married him for so that insurance. He could have yes. free insurance.
Yes.
And then they fell in love. And then he died.
Yeah.
While Teddy was operating cool. on.
Oh, yeah.
Someone. Dare. Owen.
She was. Yeah.
She was operating on Owen.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? What? No.
Or no. Was she operating on Dare?
She was. I remember she was operating. They wouldn't tell her. Yes, that
until
he died,
she was done.
Even though they knew he had.
And it was because a big surgery.
Christina operated on Teddy's husband. And Teddy's husband died on the operating table. And
then she had to tell him.
They also didn't tell Christina who she was operating on.
Right. Yes.
Shout out Shonda Rhimes. That one was tricky.
That was a good episode.
Twisty, I forgot about that.
Twisty twist.
Wow.
Man, Grey's Anatomy. Wild.
Wow.
All right. Have you ever seen a celebrity in real
life?
Have
I seen one?
Yeah. Like random on the street.
I actually have. So a couple years ago, I was walking down Main Street, I think, in Franklin, Tennessee. Mm. And lo and behold, walking down the sidewalk and just minding my own business, not my business. Whatever I was going to say. Right. And didn't think to see like, oh, I'd see a celebrity or something. Sure. And along walks by Sadie Robertson. So... Oh. I was like, wait a second, I think she's famous. And then I looked at my friend and I was like, oh, that was Sadie Robertson. Now we just didn't know what to do. Whether we turn around and just go like follow her, or do we just act normal? Do we go try to run into her again? Mm. I don't know.
What you should have done is asked her about the time she rapped about cereal.
She rapped about cereal?
Yeah, she has a song out there rapping about cereal. It's awful. It's one of like it's kind of one of those like cringy Christian things, you know.
I can see that.
Yeah, she raps about cereal because it's appropriate to rap about cereal.
Okay.
Anywho, yeah, I ran into Tadashi, you know, like the Christian rapper, Nashville.
Also Nashville.
I didn't know who it was. I was just like, he looks super familiar. And then I turn around and did like the whole double take thing, and I saw like the 116 tattoo on his forearm.
Boom.
I was like, oh shoot, I know who that is. And then also Reggie Jackson.
Who's that?
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
Aiden in the sound booth. Aiden, I know you know who Reggie Jackson is. He's Mr. October.
Who?
He's a baseball player. He's a really good hitter. I got his autograph. I ran into him at the airport in St. Louis.
Wow.
Once upon a time.
It's amazing.
Anywho, so today we're talking about spiritual disciplines and holiness, but mainly spiritual disciplines.
Yes. Because, you know, it's the new year. And we all want to get on those Bible plans and do all the right things this year to follow the Lord.
Yeah. I'm 2 for 3 so far. Until I get in the word today.
Oh, I'm 3 for 3.
So you already read today?
Yeah, I did.
Dang, what'd you read?
I read Matthew 3 and Genesis 3.
I have to read those today, too.
Oh my gosh, no way.
Are you guys on the same plan?
That's crazy.
I don't think so. I hope not. I'm on my own plan, bro.
Anywho.
Okay.
Anywhomst.
Awkward.
Yes. So, spiritual disciplines, holiness, all things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it.
All right, let's.
So, holiness... Kind of one of those buzzwords. It's like boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness. We hear it a lot, especially if you've read through Leviticus or 1 Peter, even.
Leviticus is my favorite book.
It is. That's, no. that's so great. So, since so it is, Kaylee, would you start to explain what is holiness?
Holiness.
What does it mean?
Well, when I think about it, I mean, to be holy is just like the Bible talks about to be set apart. And... how God actually set his people apart to be holy and to reflect who he is. And God says that he is holy. And so, Daniel, I know you were talking about a few verses in Leviticus specifically that like actually reflects that.
Yes.
Do you remember what those are?
I do.
Okay, what are they?
One was Leviticus 19:2, which is, you shall be holy for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. And also, the next chapter, Leviticus 20, Verse 26, you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine.
So, set apart. We see that again.
Set apart.
And we see that God is holy. He's the first one who's holy.
God is holy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Can and sorry, I was just going to say, it also is like, holy, like, is, I think, a Christianese word. So, like, also speaking into that is, like, without sin, without blemish. And so I don't want to, like, throw that to the wayside to be, like, holy is without sin. And, I mean, we'll, I think we'll touch on it, which maybe we actually aren't going to touch on it. But I don't know. Anybody besides God is not holy. We can't be. Yeah, I was going to say, oh, well, that was my next sentence.
Oh, dang it,
We can't be holy apart from him. And so, yeah, God and God alone is holy. Mm-hmm. And so anybody else is a sinner with sin. And so God alone is the only one who actually can be holy. But we are called to pursue holiness. I don't know if we wanted to expand on that or not. But
that's good. Kayla, immediately off the bat, you hear the word holiness. Like, I just walk up to you and I'm just like, holiness, right in your face. What comes to mind?
Well, I think sometimes I might have, like, some negative connotations.
Uh-oh.
Like, I might be thinking holier than thou, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's maybe some people that are, sometimes are riding on that high horse.
Yeah, a little puffed.
And, yeah, might maybe be a little bit pharmaceutical.
Pharmaceutical. Pharmaceutical.
Okay, that's actually your fault that I said it wrong because you said it wrong.
No,
at
Sam.
Sam Reese.
We're gonna call him out right now.
Okay, said pharisaical wrong earlier.
Okay, and so then he then influenced me to say it incorrectly.
Yes, he did say pharmaceutical. So very similar to pharmaceutical.
Yeah. Okay.
Not to be confused.
Pharisaical. Pharisaical.
Yes.
Okay.
Talking about Pharisees.
Yes. So. Okay. I think that if you would have asked me this, like, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, mm-hmm. I would have thought of holiness as being something that was totally unattainable and not something to pursue, mm-hmm. because how can we ever pursue holiness if I'm never, like, really going to be holy?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
That's actually a really good point.
It's a good thought. It's a bad thought, but it's a good thought that you bring up.
Yeah, it's a wrong thought, and that's why I said – maybe like 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, flesh that up then. So, like, why is that wrong? Because you are right in the sense that, like what Kaylee said, no one is holy but God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot attain perfect holiness on our own.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, why is that thought of, like, well, I'm not going to be holy, so why pursue it? Why is that, you know, slightly true in the sense of, like, mm-hmm. you're not going to achieve it.
Right.
But maybe wrong in the thought process behind it. Flesh that out a little bit.
Well, I think that, like, we can go back to scripture and see, like, even in the scripture that you just recited, Leviticus 19:2, you shall be holy for I the Lord am your God am holy.
Mm-hmm.
Also in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Mm-hmm. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Mm-hmm. So because we have the Holy Spirit, we can become holy, not fully like who mm-hmm. God is, but we can pursue holiness because holiness is looking more like Christ. And as believers, we want to look more like Christ in this life, even though we know that we will not attain that on mm-hmm. this side of eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And I think the important thing to realize is, one, for any non-believer that's listening, the only way to even pursue holiness is being a born-again believer through mm-hmm. Christ, which is professing your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Right.
Mm-hmm. His then, righteousness.
Exactly. It's imputed, right? It's a big fancy word to mean that his righteousness is now yours.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But also, for those that are born-again believers, like, you are counted as righteous, counted as holy mm-hmm. because of Christ's holiness. Like, even like 1 Peter 2:9 mm-hmm. is talking about the born-again believer in what Peter's saying is, like, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may mm-hmm. proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Like, holiness, being set apart, is only attainable through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's cool is that set apart isn't just a positional thing, it's also a calling,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is, I think, how we sort of get into spiritual disciplines. Because if you've been set apart, it means, like, you have been saved. You've been set apart. You're different from the world around you, but you've also been set apart for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I like telling my discipleship group guys, like, you've been saved for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of get into, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And so it's not limited to spiritual disciplines. It's important to know that, you know, like, not the totality of being a Christian is not made up of how well you read your Bible or pray mm-hmm. or meditate or, like, you know, fill in whatever spiritual discipline,
right. mm-hmm.
but that is a part of it.
Yeah.
So maybe we kind of transition into that a little bit. Like, what are spiritual disciplines? Why are spiritual disciplines? Maybe where are spiritual disciplines?
Well, I think even what you just said was super good, because spiritual disciplines are a response to the gospel.
That's good.
And it is not something that will earn you the gospel. And so you can't ever be saved by your spiritual disciplines, but okay. your response is your spiritual discipline. And so we do these things because they actually put us in the presence of God. And because we know that who this God is, because he has saved us, we want to be near him. We want to learn about him. We want to understand what he says about us. We want to see his perspective on the world, what he calls us to, his truth, all of these things. And the only way you can do that is if you're actually in his presence, if you're actually pursuing him through these means called spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. And so I really do think it is reshaping like our view of what spiritual disciplines are. It is not like a checklist, a performance list, things that God tells us we have to do. He's like, hey, I'm giving you these things as gifts to stay connected to me while I'm in heaven. Mm-hmm. And like, I am God, I've created you, but you're on earth. And we can go into that whole thing if we want, but basically he gives them to us as gifts to stay connected to him.
That's good. So you're saying that the more I read my Bible, or maybe the more I don't read my Bible, just, you know, like that's kind of the spiritual discipline I think people just assume automatically.
Yeah.
Does not influence how saved I am or how much God loves me.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
That is not a measure of your justification. Your spiritual discipline has nothing to do with justification. I would say you only do spiritual disciplines as a response of your justification.
That's good.
So it earns you nothing. It is whether or not you actually want to be in the presence of God, whether or not you want to do those things. And I think we get into this rhythm of like, I have to, or God won't love me. I'm like, then that is a complete misunderstanding of what justification is. You are saved at one point in time forever, and nothing will ever change that. And your Bible reading will not change that. Mm-hmm. Your prayer time will not change that. Your efforts will not change that, because it wasn't your effort in the first place. And so if you think your effort now is going to destroy that, that's not true. So I want us to reshape spiritual disciplines to be something that we get to do and that we want to do because we get to be with the God who has saved us.
That's great. That's good. Yeah, that's a bar. I think the goal, maybe if someone were to ask me, like, what is the goal of this specific podcast, like this episode right here, is to reshape and sort of reteach our understanding of spiritual disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the goal, because I think even just for myself, I viewed spiritual discipline as a long time as like, gosh, I need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't do this, I'm a bad Christian. Yep. And, you know, I work for a church.
Yep.
I can't not read my Bible. But then what happens is I won't read my Bible. And then I kind of get into this rabbit hole of like, oh my gosh, I didn't read my Bible. And I'm a bad Christian. And so I'm not going to read my Bible anymore, because now I'm afraid of like, well, what does God think of me? Like, has this changed my positional salvation, as if it is positional.
Yeah.
And then I spiral, you know, and then I'm not praying, I'm not reading my Bible unless it's, you know, work related.
Yeah.
Kayla, so you're I don't know, would you say you're still relatively new on staff? Maybe not. You've been here for like five months? Yeah. So transitioning from being a student in the ministry to coming on a staff, do you think that is changed or impacted your spiritual disciplines at all? Maybe not. But maybe so.
That's a good question. I remember when I first came on staff, I read this article about like burning out and like being in ministry.
Yep.
And it talked about specifically not letting your spiritual disciplines like intertwine with work in the way that like if I need to do Simeon Trust for like our Monday meeting, I'm not going to count that as my time in the Word with the Lord. And so I think right away coming on staff, I kind of knew that I had to have like separate time to spend with the Lord, to like be reading my Bible, to be spending time in prayer, because like us praying as a staff and at staff prayer having like individual times of praying does not count as like my own personal time. I need to be able to discipline myself to get that done outside of work, because I don't want I don't want working for a church to be my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to work for a church because of my relationship with the Lord, not in order to like fuel it, if that makes sense.
So would you say that to the, maybe to the city group leader or to the student who's coming to SALT or going to church on Sunday, that the Sunday sermon or and like the praying at church or like even going to SALT and like the sermon and the praying and worship and stuff, or city group on you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever it is, doesn't, that's like, that's not your spiritual discipline.
I think it is a spiritual discipline.
It's a spiritual discipline.
Is a spiritual discipline to be in community, to go to church, to, like, I don't know, take communion. Those are things that you have to, like, sometimes get yourself to do, and that's okay. But that shouldn't be the only place that you're having communion with the Lord.
So I shouldn't count going to church on a Sunday as like, well, I got my Jesus time in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go to church on Sunday, but also, like, spend time in scripture, spend time in prayer, meditate. Yeah.
You have six other days of the week that you should be communing with the Lord, and Sunday is not your only time.
Yeah. I think, the heart behind, you know, kind of diving into this specific topic is, like, going to SALT or your city group or church on Sunday, like, that is not your individual time with the Lord. Like, it's a good thing. They're great things, right? Like, you're having community, you're fellowshipping with other believers.
Corporate worship.
Diving into the Word. These are all phenomenal things, and they are disciplines, right? Especially for like a more introverted person who doesn't want to go to church or doesn't want to be around people. That takes discipline. It can be hard.
It does.
But that is not taking the place of your individual time with the Lord, getting to know Him yourself.
That's good. That can't sustain you either. Like, those things will never sustain you. You have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You can't live off of your parents' faith or your friends' faith, somebody else's disciplines. You have to be experiencing the Lord for yourself.
Right.
So maybe for the person who is thinking this but is afraid to ask it, why? Why do I have to do it on my own? Why can't, like, the faith I grew up with just be, like, good enough? Why can't just going to SALT be good enough? Like, why do I have to do all these things? Like, why do I have to do spiritual disciplines on my own?
I think it goes back to just having a relationship with Him. You can't have a relationship with someone that you don't spend time with.
That's good.
And so you can't live off of somebody else's relationship with this God that you don't know. And if you're not spending your own time with Him, talking with Him, like, understanding more of who He is, wrestling with hard truths yourself, sacrificing your own time, your own comforts, it's not just going to fall into your lap if that's something that you want.
That's good.
Like, and it's just like any relationship, like, that we have on earth. If I'm friends with someone and we don't talk, or like we don't hang out, we don't spend time together, are we really, like, close?
Like, most of the time, this goes into something else, but most of the time I would say, like, if you feel distant from God, it's not because He's moved, it's because you've moved. And so we have to start picturing it. I've heard it in a sermon before of, like, our relationship with the Lord, and I don't want this to come across as striving, because we will talk about this later, but our relationship with the Lord is like a river, and so He's at the upstream, and if we actually want to be pursuing Him and be close with Him, like, it does take us pursuing Him. It takes us going upstream. Otherwise, the current will pull us away, and so if we do nothing with our relationship with the Lord, we'll find this distance that we're going to go all the way downstream, because the current of life, the current of idols, the current of the world, distractions, everything is trying to pull us away from the Lord. And if we don't actually do something to pursue Him, we will find ourselves distant from Him. Like, that's just the way this world is. It's broken and we're selfish. So I think the distance is not His fault. The distance is ours.
Right.
I think, so on the topic of reforming, reteaching, relearning, what spiritual discipline supposed to look like, I think maybe a lot of people get thrown off when they start to think of the word discipline. Because when I think of the word discipline, I immediately, okay, my brain goes to like being in trouble. Mm-hmm. Or maybe being disciplined by my parents, mm-hmm. which is never a fun time. You know, like no one enjoys being disciplined. Mm-hmm. But I think when you start to look at the purpose, like you were saying, what is the purpose of discipline? Even from the angle of a parent, mm-hmm. right? The purpose of discipline is teaching your child that there is something better than what they're doing and like correcting that behavior. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing by disciplining ourselves is mm-hmm. teaching our hearts, which are very prone, like you said, it's like the river. Like we're prone to be pushed away and to walk away from God. Mm-hmm. We are teaching ourselves that there's something better.
Yep.
This relationship with God is worth it.
Yep.
And it takes effort
yep.
to know him well. Like it takes effort to know anyone well, mm-hmm. like you were just saying, Kayla.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I would want anyone listening to this. It's like a spiritual discipline is not this to-do thing. It's like, mm-hmm. even though it might feel that way sometime. And like, I think it's even okay to feel that way sometime.
Yeah.
But it's even more important when you're feeling that way to still mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm. Because you're teaching yourself mm-hmm. that there is something worth reaching for.
Yep.
Something worth striving after here, mm-hmm. which is a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
So, super ultra practical. What is a spiritual discipline? Just maybe like a one sentence definition.
What is it?
Yeah, like what is a spiritual discipline?
I would say an activity or a practice that puts you in the presence of the Lord.
Gotcha.
Did you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Kayla, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Kayla right. agrees. All right, we're good. So what are some examples of spiritual discipline? So I think anyone that's been around the church at all mm-hmm. has been like, okay, I need to read my Bible. I need to pray.
Yep.
And especially if you're a younger Christian, you're probably like, I need to journal too. Those are like the big three, I think,
yep.
that mm-hmm. like get shoved on everyone's throat. And which isn't that they're bad things. They're actually good things. Mm-hmm. Everyone should be doing them, I think. Mm-hmm. But that's not where spiritual disciplines begin and end, right? Mm-hmm. Right. What are some other ones?
Meditation and fasting, confession, solitude. I mean, the list goes on. Scripture memory, silence.
Silence.
I mean, there's so many things. All these things are countercultural. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we need to acknowledge, that it's going to be hard because this is not the norm. Mm-hmm. And so actually being still and not striving after something, that's mm-hmm. hard. Meditating on the same thing over and over again and not learning more things and shoving more theology down into your head and down your throat, like that's hard to just be still on one thing and to fix our eyes on one truth. And like gratitude, I think we talked about that one being a discipline, like to be grateful and not complaining, that's hard and that's not normal. But that is a discipline to cultivate gratefulness in our hearts because of who God is and what he's done.
Yeah. That reminds me of a thought I have. Mm-hmm. I had. So I had this thought of what if we strove, and any kind of striving is like a negative thing, but it's a good thing in this scenario. So what if we strove?
Is that a word?
What if we sought to know Jesus personally even as much as we sought to know things about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so here's what I mean. I think we Christians mm-hmm. have gotten very good at seeking to know things about Jesus, like
yes.
to know the theology,
yep.
to know the story. And like, these are good things. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. These yep. are great things. But I think we lose sight of there is a real living God to know
yes.
mm-hmm. in this striving and this seeking. Like mm-hmm. we can know Jesus himself. We don't have to know about the Jesus.
Yes.
We can know him personally and he'll yep. teach mm-hmm. us about things himself.
Yep.
Which again isn't to say that like you shouldn't, you know, seek after like theological knowledge and mm-hmm. knowing all the ins and outs in context of Jesus and what he did while he was on earth.
Yes.
Absolutely. Amen. But you can seek him personally as well, which yep. I think is another point of spiritual disciplines. It's like knowing God personally, not just knowing about him.
Mm-hmm. I think when you have a spiritual discipline that you're just going through the motions without engaging your heart in affections of knowing God himself personally, I think you miss the discipline. If you read your Bible without ever encountering the person of Jesus Christ in your reading, I think you're missing the point of the discipline.
I think, yes, I agree. But I would switch the word. I think you're missing the spiritual side of the discipline.
Because
if you're getting into it, you're doing the discipline part.
The discipline's still good, yes.
Yeah, which that's great. You can be disciplined in a lot of things.
Yeah.
But the spiritual discipline is like, that's the part where you're seeking after knowing the Lord.
The heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Engaging your heart in that.
Yeah. So we hit on this a little bit, but how did Jesus himself formulate and show, like, how did he set up his own spiritual disciplines? How did he show us these are important by living them out himself? Kayla, like, what do you think? What are, like, maybe some, like, scripture verses that come to mind?
Yeah, so the first thing that comes to mind for me is in Matthew 4, whenever Jesus was being tempted by Satan, mm-hmm. he was in the desert or in the wilderness, and he was, like, fasting. And so he was super hungry, obviously, because he didn't mm-hmm. eat for 40 days.
Yeah.
Which, awful. Like,
get hungry after
4 hours.
Yeah, for real. So, like, he shows us, like, his fasting in Matthew 4. Also in Matthew 4:10. Jesus says to Satan, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Mm-hmm. So right there we see that Jesus had scripture memorized. So because he had that memorized, he was able to kind of like use it to help him fight temptation mm-hmm. in that moment.
And you just see so many times in scripture throughout the Gospels, like you see him going away to a quiet place mm-hmm. in solitude to pray to the Father. Mm-hmm. You see him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he dies. He's praying for us. He's praying for God's will to be done and not his own. You just see him going away to quiet places. Like, that is silence. That is solitude. Mm-hmm. That is prayer. Yes.
Yes.
Daniel.
And even in that, even to maybe get outside of the like the big three bubbles.
Yes.
That we think. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cough. And we're back. Even to get outside of those, like, big three, you see him going to, like, feast and spending mm-hmm. intentional time with his community. Spiritual discipline.
Yep.
Because that's hard, especially mm-hmm. for my non-extroverts out there, right? Like, don't get me wrong. I'll spend every waking minute of my day with people.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, and this isn't even a downfall. This is just, like, it's harder mm-hmm. for people to spend time in community.
Yeah.
Right? That can be a discipline.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, mm-hmm. you see Christ, like God incarnate, mm-hmm. doing spiritual disciplines, mm-hmm. modeling for us, mm-hmm. like, hey, this is what it looks like to pursue the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so just to touch on what you did, Daniel, like, extroverts, you need to find time alone. You need to find time to, like, rest in not the schedule of all of your people and friends. I don't mm-hmm. care if you have FOMO, like, it's going to be okay. You want to not miss out on your time with the Lord more than anything. And so I need you to set apart time to be alone and to pursue God personally and by yourself. And then introverts, I need you to step out of your bubble. I need you to not just spend time in solitude. Mm-hmm. You need to be around other believers who can encourage you and can speak truth into you and, like, know what's going on in your life to be able to pray for you. So there are both, like, there's aspects of both that are good and hard.
Yeah, that's really good. What would you say is a discipline that you guys struggle with? Maybe there are none.
Honestly, I don't fast well. I have done it. I think I use fasting as like I have a really big decision.
Yeah.
And that's usually the time that I fast. I think because I don't know if this is just me or if it's everyone, but I think fasting is the most inconvenient and the most, sacrificial in some ways of, like, I'm sacrificing my food and I really like food and I can make a million excuses of why I don't want to fast. But, like, our lives are more than food. Like, it's more than this earthly life. And what does it say? Like, man cannot live on bread alone. And so, and I think, wasn't that Matthew 4? Didn't we just talk about that? Mm-hmm. but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so would we not like actually view spiritual food, like God's word, as more to like more life-giving to us than physical food? And it can actually be more delightful than physical food. And I know that's hard for some of you to wrap your minds around, but I'm telling you, when you find delight in the Lord, like that is so much more like life-giving, joyful, satisfying than food. Like, anyway, so I'd say fasting for me isn't something I practice regularly, and I don't necessarily always see the benefit to it.
Yeah. Makes sense. Kayla, what about you?
Something for me is scripture memory. I don't like doing it because I get distracted and it's hard and I have to keep up with it. And that's always been something like every year I'm like, oh, I'm going to memorize more scripture or whatever. Yep. But yeah, that's something that I definitely want to work on. And, this year I'm telling myself that I'm actually going to start memorizing more scripture. I have this app called, what's it called? Testimonio, I think. And, it's free. And it helps you memorize scripture. So I'm doing that. So if this year anyone wants to join me and use Testimonio,
you should do it.
Use code Kayla for 10% off.
Can they like friend you on there?
I'm not sure.
Testimonio friends?
Maybe. Probably. You can have friends on the Bible app.
That's true.
You can. Yeah, you see what the highlight and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's weird when people like, they liked my highlight. Oh, damn, I highlighted 1 Peter 4.
Thanks and you're like, good job, Daniel.
Thanks for the encouragement, guys.
That is the world we live in. I think that was it.
I don't remember.
Uh-oh. My bad. I'm not a prophet. Anywho. No, it's my turn. I'm bad at spiritual disciplines, too, I swear.
No, are you?
Yeah. Gosh, I'm bad at a lot of them. So I think, gosh, I could definitely say fasting. I would say it's one of my favorites. I think I've encountered the Lord.
Oh, for sure.
In some super tangible, crazy ways
yep.
while fasting.
Yep.
It's one of my favorites. I just don't do it all that often.
Yep.
Yeah, being like an extrovert, I am not great at solitude. I'm not good at taking time away and saying, hey, I'm going to put my phone down and not listen to music or not do anything. I'm just going to like go and be by myself and seek the Lord. Not great at that.
Yeah.
I think even in community, I'm around people a lot because that's where I operate best. But I think even in community, I'm not great at seeking the intentionality that would make it a discipline. Because I think it's easy to be around people and be like, oh, community, spiritual discipline, nice.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case when there's not a rhythm of, hey, we're going to do this intentionally to seek the Lord and be grateful for. Maybe you're having a meal, like the food that he's giving you, the resources to have good food, the friends that he's put in your life. Maybe there's confession, spiritual discipline. Maybe there's encouragement, spiritual discipline. All the things. I'm not great at that. As much as I'm around people and love to be around people, I'm not great at using that to actually know the Lord better and to glorify him as a spiritual discipline.
Yeah, that's good. I also want to add for me, I would say prayer. I would say we need to reshape, this could be a whole podcast itself, but reshape the way we pray too, because it's like, oh, do we pray just for like asking God to do things or do we pray with a heart of just a posture of God, I need you to do it because I can't. I would say my lack of prayer life is because of like self-sufficiency and independence, whereas like prayer is acknowledging that you are dependent on him and in need of him. And even like in that, you can incorporate like gratitude in that. You can incorporate confession in prayer. All this stuff to be in prayer with God.
Yeah. Do you have a rhythm? Do you guys have a rhythm with prayer?
One rhythm that I have done, not as consistently lately, but I was doing a while, for a while, is every time in the car when I drive, no radio, just out loud praying.
Every time.
Every time. No music. I now have been calling people and catching up with people, but that's definitely, I know, how bad of me. But no, a rhythm that I do like is just like silence in the car and just praying out loud to God. So. gives you an opportunity, especially like on your way to work in meetups, especially in ministry. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm on my way to a meetup right now that I need God to intervene. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this meetup is in vain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something that I do also. Oh, sorry.
No, you're something. Good. You go.
I do that pretty much for every meetup.
Yep.
I usually like spend like a few minutes at least, mm-hmm. like either if I'm early, right when I get there, which doesn't usually happen, or like if I'm running late when I'm like driving in the car,
yep.
I'll spend time just like praying for the meetup. But other than that, I also will like have some alarms set on my phone throughout the day to remind me to pray.
Mm-hmm.
When?
Like at 10:02.
Oh, nice. You're praying for laborers?
Yeah, I think so.
Luke 10:2 or something?
Yeah, Luke 10:2. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, therefore pray.
Earnestly.
Earnestly, yes.
To the Lord of the harvest. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah, so like that's a really good, like easy thing to do is to just like have alarms for yourself, and you can just stop and pray for like 30 seconds or a minute, but just like reminding yourself that it's important to like pray throughout the day. And I also just like generally whenever, like before and after spending time in scripture, I pray.
I would say like on that note, like we should be communing with God all day. Mm-hmm, these spiritual disciplines are not like a 10-15 minute thing in the morning, mm-hmm. but it is a rhythm, like a normalcy of communing with God all mm-hmm. day long, because we have access to him all day long. Mm-hmm. It's our choice whether or not we like actually turn to him or not. Right. He's living inside of us. And so we have access to God at every moment of every day. And so we can actually commune with him anytime. It's mm-hmm. not just a set time in the morning restricted.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's good. Kaylee, something you said reminded me. So I met a guy, older dude named Al Henderson, mm-hmm. goes by Papa Al. Sounds weird, but he's like kind of like an old grandpa figure mm-hmm. to most people that he meets, even if you just met him. So it fits. But I was kind of like a hangout with him. He was talking about his life. And essentially what he does is he works for an organization that rescues people out of sex trafficking mm-hmm. and finds them homes and, you know, like goes through like rehabilitation stuff and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about how when he's going to meet with anyone, whether it's for a business thing, for like a counseling thing, whatever, it doesn't matter, he's always praying that the Spirit would give him the eyes to see the person and the situation as he does, as God does,
mm-hmm.
and for the words to speak that God would want him to say, that God would say in the moment. And I'm just like, dang, that's cool.
Yeah.
I wish I were more like Papa Al.
Yeah. Like that dependence on the Lord for that. Like, we take so much pride and so much control in what we say and do that we're like, I need to acknowledge that I'm a sinner, like mm-hmm. through and through, that like I can't in my own power do anything, and that I'm fully in need of God for every mm-hmm. moment. And so like for my next breath, I need God. And mm-hmm. so for my next word, of course I need God. Like mm-hmm. all of these things like that I'm doing, how much more like, I don't know, fruitful, and how much more obedient would I be if I turn to the Lord in every moment for those things and actually acknowledge that I'm in need of him.
Yeah, that's good. So we've established, right, that spiritual disciplines are good things. We've established why we should do them. Like, why are they so gosh darn hard to stick to?
Right? Because we're sinners.
Yeah. But like, in all reality, it's just so hard to stick to spiritual disciplines.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, gosh, working for a church, especially for people that, you know, don't know me super well and mm-hmm. like aren't in Salt Company, that, you know, don't know that I'm just kind of a nerd and a goofball. They're like, oh, you work for a church. Like, you got to be like super holy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, dude, I still struggle to read my Bible sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. I've gone days without praying. Yeah. I don't even acknowledge God as if, like, I can do it on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So why is this hard?
I think it's always going to be hard. Like, I think that's something that we're going to face temptations in this world that are going to, there's constantly going to be distractions. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be something else that the devil's going to say is better than being with the Lord. He's going to try his every effort that he can to not get you to commune with the God who is all powerful, all knowing, able to defeat the devil, like able to defeat him. And so I think we're always going to have resistance, and that's going to come from the world telling you otherwise, that you shouldn't. It's going to come from the devil trying to take you away from the power that being with God has. And it's also your flesh. We have idols of comfort that we don't want to sacrifice 5 minutes in the morning to get up a little bit early to read our Bibles. We have idols of self-sufficiency that we can do it on our own. We don't need God, and so we don't depend on him. So why read my Bible? Yeah, I would say that's there. We're always going to have resistance to that, but I think we have to do hard things anyway.
Yeah, I also think, like, going off of that is when we don't see, like, immediate results, we just want to, like, quit.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something for me that is difficult, especially, like, kind of going back to scripture memory. If I read the verse a couple of times and I'm not, it's not clicking still, I just want to give up because it's like, oh, I just can't do it.
Right.
And I think that that can be true with also, like, Bible reading, feeling like I'm reading – like, I'm reading God's word, but I'm not really retaining it, and I don't really know what it's saying, and so I'm just, like, not going to do it at all because it's hard, and because I don't see results.
Yeah, and I think we can kind of have a false view of progress, because it's like, okay, I hear such and such speaker that I'm like, wow, they know their Bible so well, like, they're just spitting scripture left and right, they have it memorized, and they're, what, 20 years older than I am, and so I'm like, I wish I could get that way. Like, do you think they got that way overnight? No, they got there by a day after day after day discipline. And so if you see other people that you're like, gosh, I wish I could be like that, like, don't let the discouragement of I'm never going to get there stop you. Like, just put in small practices every day, because those deposits will bring that to fruition over time. And I think we're just impatient. I think we just think progress is going to be a lot faster and we want it to be instantaneous. And I think that's our culture.
Yeah, that's good. Dang. I like, especially when it's someone younger than me and they're better at maybe spiritual discipline as a whole than I am. I'm just like, oh, you dog. Dang it.
Yeah.
Dang it. I agree, though. I think we kind of look at spiritual discipline as like, all right, this is something I need to do. It's something I can do for God. Something I need to do. It's like in order to be a Christian, and we don't look at it as something like we get to do by the grace of God that's going to take us to him.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I think when we sort of remove a little bit of the obligation as something we have to do versus something like, man, I get to be with God today, I think it starts to shift the way we view spiritual discipline as a whole. And that's why I'm such... I'm such a hypocrite saying this. It's something I'm working on, need to get better at. So give me some grace if you're listening to this. But doing it like first thing in the morning, like waking up, hitting your knees, praying to the Lord, getting in the Word, spending time with him, and just hearing like the testimony of people that are doing that regularly. And they're like, I look forward to spending the first, I don't know, however long of the day with God, because I know he's there to greet me. I know he's woken me up this morning, and I get to spend the best part of my morning, best part of my day with him. And I, Daniel Reed, often lack the discipline to do that. That's an area where I'm growing. Because I want that. Right? And I think a lot of people want to be really good at spiritual disciplines, but they're not willing to put in the effort to actually be disciplined to do it, which, like, that's the whole point. That's why, like, you know, the word discipline is in there, because it is hard. It is, you know, it grinds against the flesh. And what we want to do in the morning, because you know what I want to do in the morning? I want to sleep in as long as I can, get on my phone as soon as I wake up. Go to the bathroom and go to the gym. That's usually like my routine in the morning when I'm not getting up and spending time in the Word. And like, I can put it off till later on in the day. I can. Like, I'm doing that today. Cards on the table. Like, I'll get in the Word later on today, but like, I didn't this morning and I could have. So there's room to go, which isn't to say, like, I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm like, oh, you have to get in the Bible in the morning. I think it's a good idea.
I also think it's a priority thing, because you carve out the biggest thing that matters to you in the morning and you get that done right away in the morning, then you don't have all these smaller priorities that are going to get in the way, and then it gets keeps just getting pushed off, and then all of a sudden you know it's tomorrow morning. And so I think, yes, don't be legalistic about it, but also, like, what are your priorities? You'll get in there what you need to get in there, and by making that a big rock in the morning that you're like, I will do this, and this will be my first thing because that's my priority and it matters, I think that does shape, like, whatever way. Like, if you can fit it in later, like, I will do this later. Like, make a plan, make it happen, like, don't put it off. Like, I don't think we have to be legalistic about when, but I do think the morning is a good idea.
Yeah, because it's like I was just saying, like, I failed to get up in the morning and get in the word first thing. But I have a plan. So after we, like you were just saying, after we get done with the podcast, I will go home. I will do my reading for today with the Bible plan. I'll spend some time praying, and then I'm going to meet up with some students. Shout out Jackson and Ryan. I'll see you guys in a bit. But I guess they're not going to see this till Thursday.
So never mind.
Whatever. It's Tuesday right now. Anyway, like, but that's the plan to like, to what you were just saying. Like, that, I didn't do this morning. Like, which is like, is a bummer. I should have. But I do have a plan to make sure I'm still getting in the word, spending time with the Lord, and not just like, ah, I gotta do it, I'm gonna rush to it and make sure I, like, I check the box, which sort of moves the point. Hot take. I'm interested to hear your guys' opinion on this. I think, maybe I don't agree with what I'm about to say. I don't know if I agree with this, but maybe. If it's becoming a thing where it's like, oh, I got to follow up my Bible reading plan, I got to spend my, like, 15 minutes reading, and it's not something you're actually going to do to spend time with the Lord, like, that's not the motivation behind you doing it, just don't do it that day.
I feel like you contradicted yourself with saying that we just, disciplines are hard things that we just have to do.
They are.
I think that you should just do it anyway.
Just do it anyway, even if the motivation is wrong.
Yeah, because I think you need to train yourself
for godliness.
Yeah, I think you need to train yourself to do it when you don't want to.
Because your feelings aren't always going to match. Your motivations aren't always going to be pure. Like, I think we still need to do it anyway because it still renews your mind. Like, it still is, like, transforming and renewing your mind when you get the word of God into your head.
Yeah.
In your heart. Right.
I disagree with what I just said.
It's a good question, though.
No, it's good.
Also, going back to what you were saying earlier, I think all that list of things that you said of, okay, I want to sleep in the morning. I want to go work out. I want to take my time. I want to scroll Instagram. I want to do all these things. As you were listing them, all I could think of, like, is that's temporary. That's temporary. Yeah. That's temporary. That's temporary. And so if you can reshape what you literally do your whole day into what's eternal, like, that's gonna shape it already of, like, why you're doing disciplines. And it's not gonna feel like this to-do list. It's gonna be like, am I investing in things that are eternal? Am I investing in things that will matter when I die and go to heaven? Like, am I investing in the things that are internal, or investing in the things that the world says is good, that's temporary, that will fade away? And so, even working out, yes, that's a good, healthy discipline. Our bodies, though, aren't going to last forever. Like, yes, they're going to be resurrected, but, like, these bodies will fail us. We will die. And so, like, even working out, although good, healthy discipline, all pro that, eating healthy, all that fun stuff. But even that is short-sighted. Like, even that is temporary. And so, like, a spiritual discipline, that is eternal. You will, that will never be wasted. That time will never be in vain.
That's good. Yeah. So, to get hyper-practical... Right, because it's easy to talk about this theoretically, but to get super duper practical, how do we go about forming these healthy rhythms and, you know, maybe like reshaping our view on spiritual disciplines, or like starting to build out those habits? How do we do that?
I think it starts with the discipline, which is prayer. I think you actually have to ask God to change your heart and your mind toward a discipline. If you're struggling day after day after day to get in the word, to read your Bible, to pray, to have solitude, to do any discipline of any sort, like, you have to plead with the Lord to be like, God, you have to change my heart, because I can't change my heart to want these things. So I'm going to need you to give me the eyes to see that this is valuable. I'm going to need you to give me the heart to love you and to delight in who you are and your word. And you can't cultivate that heart change. You can cultivate your heart to, like, be set up well for change, but you can't actually do the changing. Only the Lord can. So I think that comes from a posture of just asking him. I think hyper practical too, of like, all of my type B people out there who don't have a plan. Yes, Daniel, you.
I usually don't have a plan.
So for the most part, who like kind of just wing things, like that is so not me. I'm type A to a T. So like I love a plan. I love a good plan of like, this is what I'm doing. This is my structure. I thrive in that. So then I know what I'm doing tomorrow morning. I know what time I'm going to do it. I know how long I'm going to do it. I know what the goal is. It is hyper practical. So like type B people, you might actually benefit from having some structure and having a plan of what you're going to do, because otherwise you're going to come to it and be like, well, I don't really know. And you're going to figure out all this time to like waste trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Facts.
And then it's going to just fall to the wayside and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I would say type B people maybe get a plan, or type A continue to stick with that. I would also say, kind of hot take here, but I'm doing something different this year. I'm not going to have like a Bible plan or reading plan.
Whoa.
I know, kind of wild. I like to a T, probably the last like 5 years have had a Bible reading plan on like the Bible app that I've just like to a T read what it told me to every day. But I think I have been struggling with that, to actually be spirit led into like, what do I need this week from the Lord? And like, what truths am I like, I don't know, what truths am I like believing are actually lies, and what am I pushing off and not dwelling with God and just being with him instead of doing for him? And so if you're a type A person who's getting stuck in the monotony of a routine and seeing that as your performance resume and checklist, like I want you to maybe wipe out your routine and your Bible plan, and I want you to just be with God. Like I just want you to dwell with him and meditate on his truths.
Yeah.
Which I think is where I was originally going with the thought I had. Right? Like, maybe, yeah, if you're viewing it as a box to check, switch it up. Maybe don't get in the Word that day. Use a different spiritual discipline.
Yes.
Maybe you just sit in solitude and silence and listen for God to respond.
Yep.
Or maybe, like, don't do your plan. Maybe read a psalm.
Yeah.
Maybe two psalms.
Yeah. Or, like, maybe go to, like, a small book of the Bible, like Ruth Philemon. Or something. Yeah. Yeah, like a little book.
Yeah.
Jude.
Colossians.
Philippians is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a type B person, definitely. And there have been many years where I would just kind of freestyle my Bible reading and just like do whatever. That is one of the worst things that I can do to myself. It's like shooting myself in the foot. So this year I am doing the 2 year Bible plan with City Light. I did 2 years ago, I did the Bible in a year with the 1002 plan. And then last year I did the New Testament in a year. And it was really helpful to actually know like what I needed to read so that I would actually do it. Because I am one of the best people I know of making excuses of why I can't do things. So, yeah, I also have some of my D group girls on the plan with me. So I have to be more held accountable because they're seeing.
That's good.
And the YouVersion Bible app has the plan on it. And it gives you like every day you like check the boxes. Because if checking the boxes is something that helps you feel like you got it done and you did what you needed to do, that's okay. And then also it has an area where you can like make comments and talk about like what the Lord has been teaching you today. And like for me today, I noticed in Genesis 3 how the serpent was using God's word against God, and how the serpent even knew God's word in order to like trick Adam and Eve. So I've noticed that, and it was like helping me remember like, oh, this is what Genesis 3 is about. This is what Matthew 3 is about. So that's a little plug for the City Light 2 year plan, that's and good. Also for the YouVersion Bible app.
Nice. I would say another thing, like, don't give up. Like, develop the art of steadfastness, of actually persevering. Like, I think we said, like, discipline is hard, but, like, sticking with it is even harder. And so I think we need to develop actually persevering with things. And so that means if you miss a day, it's okay. Do it tomorrow. Like, that does not mean your track record is broken. Everything is useless. It doesn't even matter. Why do I even try? Like, just do it tomorrow. Like, there is no shame in that. You need to stop thinking that your Bible reading or your spiritual discipline is actually like your ticket into heaven or right. your performance review before the Lord, because it's not.
That's good. Yeah, I think last thing I'll say as we get ready to be done is to the person that has been avoiding spiritual disciplines because they're afraid of what God is thinking of them, like as if he's, you know, sitting up in heaven with a scowl on his face, mm-hmm. just so disappointed in how you haven't read your Bible and you haven't prayed mm-hmm. and you haven't been seeking him. I promise you that is not God's disposition towards you. Okay. Regardless of what like your recent sin struggles have looked like or what your recent, you know, Bible attendance has been, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, at church or reading your Bible, praying, whatever, God's not disappointed in you. He's not just like, man, I wish so-and-so would actually get their act together.
Yeah.
That's. I don't think that's what he is. I think what he is doing is calling you to get to know him mm-hmm. so that you would know
yep.
that mm-hmm. he's wanting you to know him. He's wanting you to delight in him because that's where fullness of life is found. That's yep. where true right. peace is found. That's mm-hmm. where a full understanding of our, of what love is found. Mm-hmm. And so to the person who is feeling that way, who's feeling this, you know, this huge pressure of like, gosh, I know I need to be doing these things, but I'm afraid to, I don't know where to start. I think God's mad at me. Mm-hmm. One, understand that God isn't mad at you. He's calling you to know him. If you're not sure where to start, maybe DM us on Instagram, text anyone on staff, text your studio leader, whatever. Start with the book of Matthew. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. Or if you want like a shorter one, but choose one more, but you just read Mark. It's the shortest gospel mm-hmm. there is. It's pretty to the point. But don't let the fear or shame of, you know, your great performance or your, especially your lack of, you know, spiritual performance keep you from spending time with the Lord.
Yeah, he's not calling you to performance, he's calling you to rest.
Yeah, that's
so good. I think we need to remember that disciplines are not performance. Mm-hmm. It is a gift to rest in him.
Yeah, that's good. Closing thoughts. Anything people should take home in like a little to-go box?
Go be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for our benediction today, may you, City Light student who goes to SALT, maybe sometimes, maybe frequently, would you spend time with the Lord?
The Lord bless you.
You're never going to wish that you didn't. You're always going to wish that you would have.
Ooh.
Gosh. That's it. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
Bye.